Turn, if you will, in your Bibles. We're remembering today to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to talk about the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful for all that you have done for us. And God, we could never repay that back except with our lives. We love you. We want to live for you. And Lord, even there we fall short. And Heavenly Father, this morning as we are gathered here just to worship you, God, I pray that if there's something in our lives, Lord, that's displeasing to you, we would, like the Bible says, examine ourselves. And Lord, see where that displeasure might be. And Lord, that we'll come and get that right before we partake of the supper. God, I thank you today for your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless in a mighty way. God, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Remembering. We like to remember things, don't we? Joe and Ginger. Joe told me a while ago they'd been... Yesterday, I think it was 60 years anniversary. I hope you didn't forget that. I hope she didn't have to remind you. We better remember our anniversaries, hadn't we? All right, and birthdays and things like that. We do things every year for those things, and we remember them one by one. You know, there's a lot to remembering these things. I recall in the Bible in Exodus, as the children were fixing to cross over, God told them to take 12 stones and put in the river and on the banks. And he said, when the children in times past see these stones and says, what does this mean? You tell them how God delivered you out of Egypt, out of bondage. I can remember the Passover, old Pharaoh and the plagues that were coming. He said, all the firstborn shall die. And I remember how God said to the children, take the blood of a lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost. And then come in to that house, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And oh, what a sad night for those that didn't have the blood over the doorpost. It reminds me today, there's a lot of people right here in America, we'll remember the flag, and we'll celebrate this. It's next week, I believe it is, isn't it? We'll celebrate our nation and the freedom we have, which we ought to. But many times in our nation, we'll celebrate those things, and we'll forget about God. We forget about God. We forget about the freedom that God has given us through Jesus Christ. And oh, I think of the ones that are out there in the world, maybe here in service today, that do not have the blood of Jesus Christ over their life. What a tragedy to live your life and never know Jesus Christ and come to the end of life, like I said last week, and end up in a place called hell, crying out, Lord, help me, for I'm in torment. And there's no help there. There'll never be no help there because they refused the one and only God's precious Son. Oh, what a thing we need to remember this morning. And as we take of the Lord's Supper, the Passover, as they sit there and he broke the bread and talked to his disciples, gave them instructions to remember him till he comes, the Bible says. I think about this morning, you're sitting there, and you know, the gospel is simply the story of how Jesus came and died for you and I, rose again on the third day, and one day, the Bible says, he will come back, and he gives this, whosoever will may come. It's for everybody, whosoever. You're here this morning, and you've never received Jesus Christ. It's for you. He gave his life for you, that you might have everlasting life. When we properly understand the Lord's Supper, it will bring to us into the very presence of God. And it helps us. The Lord's Supper helps us deal, I believe, with sin and restore our fellowship, because the Bible says when we come to this table, we are to deal with our sin. You see, it makes me aware that, hey, have I done something this week, or have I done something in the past week or so that I need to deal with before I take of this supper? God says, do that. And it says, is there a fellowship that's unbroken? I need to deal with that. You see, I need to deal with the fellowship, one that I have with God. If there's something in my life that is causing a separation in that fellowship, in other words, is there a sin in my life? He says, I need to deal with that this morning. Get it right. I praise God. He says to his children, if we confess our sin, I am faithful to forgive you. 1 John 1:9, he says, confess your sin and I'll be faithful to forgive you. And I thank God for that forgiveness. But we need to restore our fellowship with God. If there's something in our life that is ugly and God wants us to confess it, then this morning we need to deal with that. And not only that, but he says fellowship with one another. If you're out there this morning and, oh, you don't like me, well, you see, we need to deal with that. I love you, but you know, sometimes things don't jive so good and we get a little cross, but if that's your case with one another, well, confess it. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. You know, let's forgive one another. Let's love one another. Oh, that's the way God wants us to live our life. And then this supper that you see before you, the bread and the juice, it tells me that he's coming again. You see, Jesus is coming again. And we need to recognize that, because he said, I want you to do this, and I want you to drink this cup and eat this bread till I come. Now, that's a promise from God. He is going to come. So let's pause just for a moment. And as we're celebrating the freedom that we have in this world, let's also remember the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And let's look at these two things, the bread and the cup. And let's think about what they mean. Look at verse 24. And after he had given thanks, he broke the bread. And he said, take, eat. This is what? My body. This is my body, which is broken for you. So we see Christ's broken body in the bread before us. And this morning, as we look at the bread, You see, the bread is symbolic of the broken body of Christ for us. Now, the bread speaks of, one, Christ's sufferings. You can't talk about Christ and his death and his body being broken without talking about his sufferings. You see, the Bible says Christ suffered for you and I. That's what he talks about. He is a Savior who suffered for us. He is a Savior, not only the suffering of Christ, but he's also sufficient to meet every need we have. And I can't think about our Lord and Savior without first thinking about, one, he suffered for me. And then he is sufficient for me. And the bread speaks of Christ's suffering. One, it speaks of his suffering on the cross. Now, I don't know about you, but listen, the cross was the worst form of death the Roman soldiers could put on somebody. They would literally take a person and beat that person and with that whip. You've probably seen it in plays. But with that whip and the bones on the end of that whip or little pieces of metal, literally when they come around someone and pull that back, it would rip them open and blood would flow. And many times, just in the beatings, the person would die. Many times he would lose his intestines and things like that. It was gross, folks. It wasn't like you see in the plays where we march a man up on a cross and they put him in the ground real easy and slow. No, they nailed him to that cross and his flesh was torn and he was in a lot of pain. Christ suffered a violent, violent death. That's what we think about when we think about the body that was broken. Now, that suffering reveals to me, one, sin is a serious business, folks. Oh, we laugh at it. Man, I think the world is in a problem. When we have America, now I don't know about you, but when we have America and we vote that homosexuality between two men or two women, you know, and that is legal in our country now? Oh, man. We ought to be weeping in America. That our nation, one nation, we say, under God. We need to realize we are under God. And folks, we're going to pay the price. You think, well, it's not going to affect me. I'm going to still live with my wife and I'm going to do it. It will affect you and it will affect your kids. It will affect your grandkids. And oh, I weep for our grandkids that will have to grow up in a nation like that. And I love this young man that's in the Boy Scouts. I was in the Boy Scouts for years. But when our Boy Scouts voted, it's the pressure of the world creeping in America and our nation. That reminds me that sin is a serious business and God will not let it go. Amen. The Bible says he gave them over to their own lust and flesh and sinful desires. And in fact, it is a fact that Jesus Christ in his death reveals just how much God hates sin. He hates sin so much that he took his only son and brought him to earth and he came freely to die because we couldn't do it ourselves, folks. That's how much God hates sin. And we may laugh at it and we may joke about it in America, but oh, it's serious with God. And I believe that we're coming to a very quick close in our nation. You see, the Bible says our God is a holy God. And he can't condone what we have done. And you may say, well, I didn't do it. Oh, but we elected those people in there. You see, he hates sin because It simply destroys everything that he's for. Sin tears down the world. Sin tears down your life and my life. And it's out there. Sin is a moral plight which nothing less than the sufferings of Christ could cure. He had to die for you and I. And the suffering of Christ reveals that God so loved Byron Jones. That's me. God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. That if I would just get down on my knees and say, Lord, here am I. I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm guilty. I want you to come into my life. He says, I will. Because that's why I sent my son to die for you. That I might come into your life and live through you. Oh, some say that those old soldiers were cruel when they nailed him to the cross. Oh, it was the love of God that nailed them there. He so loved us that he gave. I like Brother Bob. He said nobody took Jesus' life. He gave his life. They couldn't even kill him. He commended his life to God. Oh, he suffered. He loved us. And that's why he came to such a cruel cross. I love that song, Amazing Love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? That's what's amazing to me. Every time I remember back and I take of this cup and I say, Lord, it was for me you died. It wasn't for all of you. It was for me he died. You have to make it personal to you, see. He died for you too. Every single person. It is amazing, isn't it? How ugly our lives are, and God says, you know, I want you to come to me. I want to have fellowship with you. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the greatest expression of love that one could ever give. And God gave it. His sufferings tell me that in Christ, I know that if God so loved me, I keep walking over here. I'm going to point at y'all for a while. These people over here, they get tired, man. He doesn't call me sinner over here. You know, when I think about Christ and his suffering, you know, the provision of God, the provision, that provision, if he was willing to send his son to die for me on the cross, don't you think that he's going to provide for me in life? When I came to him as his child, you know, I had a mother and daddy, and they loved us. And even though things were tough growing up, you know, they provided the basics for our life. They gave us food to eat. They worked hard. My daddy worked 2 or 3 jobs. And mother worked hard every day. She drove a school bus. She taught school. And she'd come home and, man, she'd have to clean clothes and wash the dishes and, you know, all of those things. And I think, you know, they worked hard and they provided for me. And I said, thank you, Mom. Thank you for doing all of that. That's the reason. I believe we ought to love our mothers and fathers and honor them. Not just because the Bible tells us to. You ought to recognize what they've done for you. And you know what? When you realize what they've done for you, Jesus Christ has done even more than that. And you know what? The Bible says he will provide for you. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? You know, the reason we don't have anything is because we don't ask God for it. God says you ask, you have not because you ask not, and then you ask amiss. A lot of times we ask God for things that we really don't need. You ever did that? We're always asking God for things that we really don't need. And many times we have sin in our life, and the Bible says he's not going to answer us with sin in our life. You see, we always want God to do for us and do for us and do for us, but when it comes to giving him an hour on Sunday morning or 2 hours, and then on Sunday night or Wednesday night, we say, oh God, we can't do that. We've got to We're busy. I've got to take my kids to the basketball or the football or the whatever they do, and we're just too busy for you, God. But we do thank you. I tell you what, if we doing them that way, we're not doing him right. We ought to thank him for the very breath of life that we have. And we ought to give him our time. And let me tell you something. If you're a parent, I'm going to speak to parents just a moment. If you teach your kids that other things in life are more important than God, you're going to have problems. Don't come to me and cry with me and say, hey, my kids won't go to church. They've grown and gone. Because you spent more time out on Sunday on the lake or Sunday at the football games or Sunday at whatever it might be, and you didn't take them to church. They just doing what you taught them. I thank my Lord for our mother and father who made us go to church. And I said they made us because, you know, we didn't want to go. But I thank God now that I love to go because I know that Christ died for me. He loved me so much that on Sunday morning, I knew where I was going to be. I wasn't going to get to go out and go hunting. I didn't have football and all that back then. We couldn't drive to Rusk. It was only 15 miles. But, you know, we couldn't go anyplace because we didn't have enough car and gas to get us there. But let me tell you something. It didn't make any difference because I was going to be in church on Sunday morning. My brother was going to be in church right beside me on Sunday morning. And all these people say, well, we just don't have the clothes to wear to church. Hey, we didn't either. We had holes in our pants and patches on our knees and Brill cream on our hair. But boy, we were there. Most of y'all don't know Brill cream, but if you're a little older, you do. You know, little dab of do you. Man, my hair was slicked back worse than Bill's is right now. Sorry, Brother Bill, but I know one thing. We went to church, and it wasn't what we had on. It was what's on the inside, and God says, I loved you and gave my son for you, and folks, when we look at this table today, and when that bread is passed around, I want you to think about, don't just eat it and go on. You think about Christ and his sufferings on the cross for you. And whatever bite you take, every piece that you eat, as it goes down, you think about how sufficient he is. You see, when God gave his body to be broken, he did it. The Bible says he was bruised for our transgressions. Because of Christ, everything's met that I need in life. So as we take of the bread, let's think about the body and the sufferings of Christ. And it also symbolizes sufficiency. Jesus is all you need today. All these other things in life, Jesus is what we need. He's the only thing that's really lasting. One day the Bible says everything will die. It'll all be consumed by a fire. And only what you've done for Christ will last, folks. He's all we need. And then, let's go on. It says, after that, he took the cup. And the cup, he said, this is my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. So the second thing we'll see come around this morning is the cup. And that cup, that juice that we have there, is symbolic of life. So we speak of Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross. Well, you know, we speak of his life being literally poured out for you and I. The blood as a payment for our sins. I preached here one time. I know the sermon. I don't know when I preached it, but it's way back yonder because we have people that are gone now that was here, and you know, somebody's got to pay, the name of the sermon. Somebody's got to pay. In the Old Testament, when I talked about the Passover, God said, you take a lamb, a perfect little lamb, and you cut its throat, and you drain the blood, and you take that blood, and you put it over the doorpost. That innocent little lamb, spotless lamb, had to die. They had to go into that house under that blood for the death angel to pass over. And after that, he set up a Passover, and he told the children, here's what you do. And year after year after year after year, lambs died. Lambs died year after year, making a sacrifice for the sin of the people. Year after year after year. It's in Exodus 11 and 12. Let me read this to you. Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for every household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it accordingly to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make a count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or the goats. Let me tell you something. He talks about there, every man has to have a lamb. And the lamb and your lamb. When Jesus Christ came, he was the Lamb of God. Oh, John, when he baptized, he heard a voice. And he said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. John had cried out, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. Folks, every year a lamb had to die in the Old Testament. But when Jesus Christ came, he was sufficient to meet the price. He was the one that had to pay. And God says, this is my son, the lamb. He will die for your sins. And he did. He purchased your salvation by his blood. What can wash me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Oh, when we partake of the cup this morning, you think about the Lamb of God who gave his life, the blood of Jesus, that you might have life. And then let me ask you the final question. God says, a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. I love the 23rd Psalm. It simply says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my lamb. Is he your lamb? If he's your lamb, then your sins have been forgiven. You're on your way to heaven, man. By an act of surrender, one day, you said, Lord, I want you as my lamb. And you committed yourself to him, 1975, May 5th. I committed myself to the Lamb of God, and he became my lamb. He's personal to me. I don't want to do anything displeasing to God. Oh, I do. And I'm always saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Bible says if you're here this morning and you've got sin in your life, you know what? I kind of find that hard to believe that you do not sin. I think every one of us here this morning probably need to get on our knees before God and say, Lord, your word says, if I will confess, you will forgive. And I find myself confessing all the time because I want to be right with God when I take of the cup. I thank God for his grace that he gives so freely. So today as we remember our nation, let's also remember Christ's body and his blood. And let's also look ahead till he comes. Let's don't just remember today, but let's remember tomorrow and every day after that. Every day that God gives us, let's remember he is coming. Let us be right with him when he comes. I don't want to be caught out doing something that I shouldn't be doing. When he comes, I hope I'm in his church. I hope I'm praying. I hope I'm worshiping him the day when the trumpet sounds. It will sound. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound, and his children will hear that beautiful sound, and we'll know that he's coming, and we'll be caught up to meet him. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. Be ready. Be ready. If he comes today, is he your lamb? If not, I'm going to give you an invitation in just a minute. What you need to do is come and just say, he's not my lamb, but I want him to be. He says, if you will ask him to come into your heart, he will come in. By faith, you step out and you come to God and say, I want him to be my Savior. The Bible says he will come in to your life just like that. You don't have to try to be good. You can't do it on your own. By faith, you trust him, and he'll start chipping away all those old rough edges. That's what repentance is, turning your life away from sin and turning to God, and he'll start showing you. And every time he shows you a sin, you just confess it under the blood. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. Now, if you're here this morning, and you're already saved, and I pray you are, it says we need to be right with each other. We need to be right with God. If you're not right with each other and right with God, do not take of the bread, because the Bible says you're eating it unworthily. That's the reason he says many are sick and some die. Folks, it's a serious thing. We just don't meet, have bread and juice and take off. It's a serious business with God. I think you've seen how serious this morning. It's nothing to laugh at. Sin's not. Sin is dangerous. Sin tears you up. Sin will kill you. It'll take you further than you want to go. It'll take you all the way to the pits of hell. And the devil will laugh all the way because he's got you for all eternity. There's no escape. There's no escape once you're there. This may be your only opportunity to come. Is God your lamb this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that sin is serious and God is a holy God and he wants you to come. Lord, is there someone here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? I pray this morning might be the day that they come. If there's others that are saved, Lord, let them come if they need to confess their sin and just get it right with each other and you. And Lord, if there's those looking for a church home and they've already been saved and baptized, and they want to join this fellowship, well, Lord, may they come. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.